Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It is November 25th, 2020. Wishing you a blessed Wednesday, also a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. Despite all of the many issues we're facing in our country, in our world, in our church, thanks be to God, we still have so much to be thankful for. And one of the things I'm thankful for, of course, is Jesus. One of the my faith, the fact that I can work at a network like this, operated by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, that allows us to speak the truth in love, and that has a certain relationship with coworkers. So we're not just coworkers, but we truly are family, and you are part of that family. That's why in this edition of Catholic Connection, this live program before we take off for a few days for the holiday, we're going to break with normal programming and bring Al Cresta, CEO of Ave Maria Communications, author, international speaker, and of course host of Cresta in the Afternoon, to join us with a statement about the loss of one of our family members, something we were dreading. We knew it was coming, but even though you're trying to prepare for it mentally, when you lose someone you love so much and you know so much and you've worked so closely with over the years, it's still heartbreaking. So Al is going to spend about the first 10 minutes with me this morning just chatting about Nick Tom, who went to be with the Lord yesterday. And then we'll also be speaking with Greg and Julie Alexander and Joan Lewis, as we normally do on a Wednesday. Al Cresta joins me this morning. Al, we knew this was coming. But boy, it just doesn't take the sting away when it happens. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks. Nick was with us just about from the beginning when we started Ave Maria Radio. Mm-hmm. He joined us around 2001, I think it was, when he came on board really as a reporter for a newspaper that we were publishing at the time called Credo. Nick had been a graduate of the Franciscan University of Steubenville. He had was working for the local newspaper down there, really checking the police blotter and just doing, you know, kind of the basic grunt work that you have to do to put out a daily paper. And I remember interviewing him. Our managing editor at the time, Jay McNally, became aware of him and then called me in to take a look at him before we hired him. And there are a few things about Nick that I really liked right away, and one of them was actually his relationship with his wife, Jen. There was, just from our conversation, it was clear that they both had a sense of mission together, that they were really, really bound together, not only as husband and wife, but also as co-workers in the faith. It was quite beautiful. She was teaching at a local school called Everest Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hired Nick, and then when we shut the newspaper down, he moved over to radio and became the producer of Cresta in the Afternoon. And he was young. He was young, and he learned quickly. Nick had a drivenness about him, or look, that's not quite right. He had drive.
Right.
Rephrase that. He had drive. He was good to work. He took direction well, but he was also is what you want in a producer. He could also speak his mind, which is not always the case. So he was able to tell me what he thought about different things we were doing, and we grew very close over the years. I've never had a producer I worked with for such a long period of time.
Right.
But when we grew especially close after I lost my leg. I was in the hospital, and our general manager, Mike Jones, visited, and Nick and I talked actually quite a bit during that time, because you and he really carried the program. I didn't return for about 6 months.
Right, I remember that.
So the program rested on the two of you, And then eventually, when I came back, we were, it was during the Gulf War, the second Gulf War. And so we had a lot to jump to right away. But that was back in, 2003.
Yeah, because I started in 2002. It's 18 years this year for me at Ave Maria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 18 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, we worked together for a few years, and then, in fact, we did a book together, too, called Moments of Grace.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he, then one morning on the way to Mass, he was unable to lift his foot off the accelerator, as I remember it. And Jen finally got control of the car. They went right. The experience passed, but Jen insisted they go to the hospital. And they discovered he had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
So it was something they were going to have to deal with up until yesterday. When he passed away at 9:30 in the morning, roughly 9:30 in the morning, his wife Jen texted me a few minutes after he went to be with the Lord. And, over the last few weeks, and you'd been out to visit him too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Over the last few weeks, we've been watching him in his decline. And he entered into hospice care maybe a month ago. Jen was caring for him, his wife. They had a nurse who would come in. I don't know how often, but his three children, Sarah, David, and Andrew, were all really engaged in caring for him during his decline. So he was a family to the very end. And I'd never seen that before, just from my own experience. I'd never seen a family gathered around the dying father. It was amazing. Each in his own way had something to share. And there were people in to pray regularly. Nick, everybody should know that Nick sought, supernatural healing throughout this whole experience.
Right.
It's like we prayed in Jerusalem for him. As far as we can know, humanly, but I think we know with some assurance, based on the teaching of the church, he died as he lived, trying to be in a state of grace.
Right.
He was diligent about the faith. He was learning. He received the sacrament of anointing recently. Our parish priest, Father Ed Freedy, had been a stalwart in ministering to the whole family. And a few weeks ago, Father Dave Pavanka, who's now president of the Franciscan University of Steubenville, actually came up. Nick and Jen knew him when they were, students at Franciscan way back when. So when we got, I had slept quite a bit. I'd just gotten up.
No, it was quite a day yesterday, so no problem. I appreciate you joining us. I wanted to get back to a couple of points that you made that I think impressed people so much. And you were there 2 years ago when they gave a keynote at the Beautiful World Marriage Day dinner where you and Sally also gave your testimony a few years prior to Nick and Jen. But I think what's so important about what you said about their marriage, sometimes when people pass away, people, we all say nice things because you don't want to speak ill of the dead. But in their case,
right,
what they have witnessed for us in terms of marriage, and Julia Gregg Alexander are going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about this covenant relationship, when we're talking about in sickness and in health. And this is what the world does not get. When you are committed to someone, to a loved one, and you're with them, toward the end, for the good times and the bad times, what can happen in terms, as painful as it is, there is a healing, there is closure, and the way the children wrapped around him and were there and helping with the care, that is a witness to children about the beauty of life in all of its stages. And that's what so many people run away from. And what's so beautiful about our faith that they gave us up until the end of Nick's earthly life.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I don't know when they adopted St. Faustina's motto, but Jesus, I trust in you.
Trust in you, right.
Yeah. I don't know if that had been their motto, you know, through their marriage together, but it certainly was over the last, 14 years, I'd say. And that was really present. That was undoubtedly true. People over the years would ask, you know, how's Nick doing? And, up until maybe 2 years ago, you know, I would just give kind of the medical information, which he shared with me. And then about 2 years ago, largely after he stopped working on the air at the station, then I began to focus in on actually how he was doing, not just how his body was doing, but how he was doing. And I can say that he showed a serenity over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, that was new to him, in my experience of him anyways. I think by natural temperament, he wasn't given to being a serene person. Like I said, he was a person with a lot of drive, and sometimes he could be driven. But this serenity that eventually came to rest on him really beautifully suited him. It wasn't something that I saw as a natural part of his temperament. It seemed to be some work of grace that came upon him as he drew closer to the close of his life. And he had real assurances over the last few weeks. And I don't know all the details, but I do think that he had a number of experiences, judging from some of the details that Jenna shared, that he saw the Lord. And, I'm sure she'll be sharing those in more detail in due course. I'm reluctant to try to go into them because I wasn't there. You would think that a young man of his stature, his drivenness, his talent, his ambition, he had a godly ambition, you would think that he would complain. And I have to say, this is one of the strangest things.
Yeah.
I don't recall him ever complaining.
I don't either. Yeah.
This terrible, I mean, this was a terrible hand he was dealt, you know, when he was going through his most productive years. Mm-hmm. And as a father, Nick could complain about other things, so I knew he was capable of that. He wasn't somebody who just passively accepted the status quo. In fact, one of the reasons I hired him was because he had that drive to change things. But when I would ask him how he was dealing with this, you know, quote, bad luck, right? We can believe in luck, but how do you deal with these being dealt such a bad hand? He surprisingly just sort of accepted it as part of the, you know, this is what was part of my genetic makeup. This God's ways are inscrutable. He is a good God. He is perfect in all his ways. So, I think Nick, at least in my life, Nick exhibited, more than anybody I've known, a way of walking with the Lord right into eternity. In the last few years of his life, as he was lost his ability to speak and was hobbled in so many other ways, he really did exhibit, I think, what St. Ambrose said when he said, to the good man, to die is to gain. And as I have to say, as Nick edged closer and closer to eternity, he seemed to embody that confidence. And while I wasn't with him 24 hours a day, like Jen was, she was very faithful in communicating with us, those who were close, what was going on, and could be quite candid about it, too. But I think we saw Nick ministered to me as much in this last year of his life as he worked with me for 14 years as my producer. And I have to say that he's definitely changed my attitude about how to approach end-of-life issues.
Mm-hmm. And suffering, I think, in general, for all of us,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Al, thanks so much. I know that we all contributed to a beautiful documentary that the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, because Jen works with them at the Spiritus Sanctus Academies, they're putting together a video tribute. When might we see parts of that? Any word on that yet?
No, I haven't heard a thing about it, and I don't know where they are with the production, so I wish I could say more.
Are you going to be addressing this afternoon on Crest in the Afternoon?
Yeah, I think, we were thinking, we didn't do it yesterday because it was too close,
right.
And I needed time to think about it, too, mm-hmm. rather than just start jumping on the air and blathering. We'll be bringing it up today for certain.
All right. Well, thanks for getting up early and joining us. I know it was a rough day for everyone, especially you, hearing the news that he passed away. But we're grateful for the opportunity to speak about him and to share what a witness he was and what a witness both he and his wife are to marriage and what it means to have that covenant relationship. And we're going to be talking more about that with Julian Greg Alexander. Al Cresta joining me this morning to talk about the passing of Nick Thom, his executive producer, very talented producer, writer, speaker, and author. Gone into greater glory, passing away at the young age of 41 following complications of a brain tumor. We'll be right back.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Religious freedom and health care and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
Join Monica Miller, Janet Smith, Joe Scheidler, and other great speakers for the Red Rose Rescue National Pro-Life Conference. Learn about and become part of this exciting, bold, and effective defense of the unborn. Be there Saturday, December 12th in St. Charles, Missouri. Attend virtually or in person. For all details and to register, see RedRoseRescue.com, RedRoseRescue.com.
Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday morning, Catholic Connection, and so grateful for the witness of Jen and Nick Thom, and so grateful for the witness and the effort of Julian Greg Alexander to work with marriages in trouble and to help people and to see miracles in their lives. And gosh, I know you guys were listening to the interview with Al. Just your thoughts on the witness that Nick and Jen Thom gave to marriage and what it means to be in a covenant relationship in good times and in bad. And Greg, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts?
Yes, Teresa, we've had the blessings to have known Nick, and just what a great guy. Again, a great witness to the faith, a great husband. And it points back again to what we're all called to do, is to be there to sanctify each other's husband and wife, to assist each other in growing in holiness, so that when we do take our last breath, we can rest assured we've done what we needed to do to usher them back into the arms of our Heavenly Father.
Right.
And I would have to know from the, what I know of Nick and his wife that, that that's what they were doing for each other. And as a result, that's what she has done for him in allowing him to have that. So I just pray that that has been the result and that he's just basking in the glow of our Heavenly Father.
Mm. Amen. Julie, your thoughts?
Yeah, we can say it so many times, right, Teresa, even with what we're dealing with all this stuff today is we never know when. And don't waste a moment. You know, I just keep thinking of how much he suffered and how much he had gone through and how many prayers went his way and the beautiful witness to have somebody there by your side your entire the rest of your life at the moment when it's most important, at the moment of your passing. We have another dear friend that they too are in ministry, and Jason and Elise, Angela, and she lost her battle to cancer as well. They've got five beautiful children. And how glorious it is that they fought, they stood for marriage and the church and the witnesses, and I just pray that so many can see the realization that life is not about here and now.
Right.
But it's about what we're supposed to do to usher each other, as Greg said, to get each other to know who God is through and what we do, how we treat each other, how we pray together, how we show our kids what it's supposed to look like. And God, I pray that he is praying and watching over all of us that are down here right now, because, wow, do we ever need
it? Do we need it?
Like
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House, thealexanderhouse.org, and they are marriage coaches, and they do an excellent job. So Greg, let me get back to you, and then Julie, feel free to jump in. What are you seeing right now? Here we are entering into the holidays, and this is going to be, for a variety of reasons, a holiday season like no other. There is so much stress and so many issues people are facing, even prior to, you know, pre-COVID, before everything hit, you know, just like this strange thing almost pretty much out of nowhere. And many people are still struggling economically. Many people are struggling with stress, with feeling that their freedoms are being taken. I mean, there's just so many things. And then that compounds already difficult situations in a marriage. What are you seeing right now out there?
Trouble for all those things you just mentioned, Teresa, and it's just been compounding the problems that have been there. I should say maybe exacerbating the problems that were already in the marriage in the first place, and now adding all of these additional stressors. You know, we're like 3 months backed out right now trying to get to these couples, and everybody's just at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. They're stressed about jobs and children, having to come back and now homeschool when I'm trying to work and juggle that schedule. And there's just so much craziness, Teresa. And so a lot of what we've been doing is just trying to get couples back to the basics. You know, almost 34 years ago, almost to this date, November 30th, 1986, St. John Paul II, when he was doing one of his apostolic pilgrimages, he gave a homily in Perth. And that was the first time we heard those words, that as the family goes, so goes this nation, and so goes the world in which we live. And our family relationship, more importantly, the unit that begets the family, mom and dad, is the predictor of what we're going to see in our world and in our society. And we've done a terrible job as the domestic church, if you will, in producing those kids. And the reason I say that, Teresa, because a lot of people will disagree with me, but when you look at the stats that 50% of Catholics believe that abortion is okay, 70% of Catholics believe that same-sex marriage is okay, about 70% of Catholics don't believe in the true presence of the Eucharist. And why are we so surprised when we see the problems and the issues we have in our society today when we have that kind of a church? And all that, again, goes back to what are we doing as mom and dad in the home to form our children so that they can go out and become those great leaders in the world.
Yeah, and Teresa, I love what you talked about earlier. I mean, you go back to how, you know, it all does start in the family. It's
right.
The foundation of society. So we have to go and look in the mirror and say, how have I participated in where we are today as a culture? Because I know that we shut the door a long time ago when we thought it was okay to live together before marriage, to do, you know, to come together in the sexual relationships and the act as though we were married. We lied to each other as though we were living a marriage and we weren't even married. But I thought as long as we were hiding it from my parents, you know, that I didn't even think of God. I didn't even think of God. And then contraception came into the picture. Contra against conception.
Conception.
Life. If we are against life, then how are we so we turned our back on God a long time ago, and now we're on our knees crying out for him to save us. And I hate to say it, but haven't we put ourselves in the position that we're in today to look up and say, God, how did we get here? And sometimes I hear him saying, you put yourselves there.
Right. He gives us free will. Right. He gives
Absolutely.
Us our free will and puts before us life and death. We have to take a quick break. I want to remind people, though, that we're talking with Julie and Greg Alexander. Usually try to have them on at least once a month for mornings on marriage. And the website is thealexanderhouse.org. They also have a chapter in my new book, Listening for God, and it's all about redemption and hope in marriage. And the book is now out, and you can get a copy of it. There's also a sale going on at Sophia if you'd like to get a copy. More with Julie and Greg Alexander, thealexanderhouse.org, talking about mornings and marriage, and also what we need to do to help each other get back to basics. Stay tuned.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
28 minutes past the hour, wishing you a blessed Thanksgiving weekend. We are here live with you today, obviously, and then off for a few days, and God willing, back with you on Monday. Mornings on Marriage with Julie and Greg Alexander. Just received an email from my friend Tom Price at EWTN Radio in Birmingham asking for prayers for our dear sister, Barbara McGuigan's, and she apparently has now been hospitalized. She contracted COVID, and she's in the hospital now, so we're just asking for your prayers for a quick and a full recovery. She's a wonderful pro-life witness, and we pray for her health. And just keep that in mind. We'll have more on that a little bit later as we get more information. Getting back to the discussion with Julie and Greg Alexander and talking about what we can do, in terms of, Greg, what you're seeing, what are some of the biggest issues? We talked about the stress from COVID, but are you seeing like a stubbornness for people to forgive? What is it that is a big block right now in relationships, do you think?
Infidelity is the culprit that we're seeing now. And we're finding that a lot of people cannot no longer turn to each other for that comfort, for that conversation, for that solace. And they're seeking out others to bring them what they feel that they can't get from their spouse. And it's just been amazing. I'd say probably 80% of the couples we see that's the culprit right now that they're having to deal with in their marriage. And that is just a result of many, many years of neglecting the marriage and not doing for each other. And now that they can no longer turn to, they're turning elsewhere. And how sad is that?
Julie, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I will just say the rise in pornography, hundreds and hundreds percent of the rise in pornography. I go back to something that we listened to yesterday, Teresa. How sad is it that in California, you know, we can have the liquor stores and the strip clubs open and the churches closing down. We're flipping everything on its head. Where do people turn? Where do they go? They go for their comfort. They go to these escapisms. And it gets to the point where I just need to ask everybody that's listening, priests, bishops, family members, friends, please, 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 when someone comes to you with issues in their marriage, encourage them to work it out and stay together. Teresa, I know I've said this before, but I'm beyond the point of I don't have any more patience that every single couple that comes to see us has been told to move on and get over it, to move on and get out of their marriage, and they can just go find somebody else. I'm telling you, that is not the Catholic God. That's not the God way. God says he hates divorce. He doesn't hate anybody. But he hates what divorce does, and it rips apart souls, it rips apart families, and it destroys the lives of children.
We see the fallout. I mean, Dr. Jennifer Rollback Morris, among other experts, has done so much research on what happens. And Greg, you had that famous and beautiful quote from Pope St. John Paul II. What is it that those in the church are saying, get over it and move on, because it's more trouble for them, because it breaks down the church if the family is the domestic church? Why, is it because it's just too hard, they think, to fix? What is it?
I don't know. That's a $64 million question for us as well, Teresa, because, you know, we studies also show that those who stick together, 5 years later or so, they start to experience this renewal in their marriage as well. And especially given the statistics of what happens, the fallout from the children, the suicide, depression, dropping out of school, juvenile delinquency, teenage pregnancy, the poverty level, all of those different things, we know what happens. And so you would think that we would have this concerted effort to help couples stay together and get them back on track so that we don't experience that fallout that we know that is the reality of divorce.
Yeah, and when we have people come to us and talk about annulments, they don't even know what one is, but that's the first thing that they're offered. Shame on us as representatives of the church to have that be even an option to mention. Because when they come to us, Teresa, it takes two sessions, even sometimes the first session that we see the turnaround in these couples, because you know what? We offer them Jesus Christ. We offer them the truth of the church. We offer them forgiveness and healing. We offer them, go back to the sacraments and nourish yourselves in the church and her teachings. And guess what? It works. It works because the grace is real. The grace is efficacious. When we participate with God the way he intended. And so we see these things. We see people on Facebook who are going from one relationship to the other, and their kind Catholic friends are telling them congratulations when they know that they are still married to another person. We as a culture in our church have to change the truth to say, stay in this marriage and we will all help you get to where you need to get and help you redeem your marriage the way God intended for it to be.
So how does your ministry work, if people aren't familiar, if they haven't heard you before? And by the way, we're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander of thealexanderhouse.org. How do they contact you? Just through the website? And what they can do this over Skype or over the phone, correct?
Yes, correct, Teresa. As we work with couples literally all over the world, but they reach out to us via our website, internet, or phone number. And Robin is the main contact person. She does a great job of receiving these couples, kind of putting out the fire, if you will, settling things down, and then she refers them out to one of our marriage disciples, and we typically take couples through 6 one-hour sessions, giving them, again, as Julie mentioned, the teachings of the church. Our first question, Teresa, that we ask couples is, where is God in your marriage? And the typical answer we get is, well, we say meal prayers, and we go to Mass. And many people can't even go to Mass right now, but that's usually the extent of God being present in their marriage. And so we take them through a lot of what the church teaches about marriage. As Julie said, there is a grace in the sacrament, which is why I believe we see such major transformations, because we teach couples how to go back and live in accordance with God in that sacrament that opens the door to the fullness of grace that is there. And so many times we're not experiencing the grace because we're not living it God's way. And as a result, we're supposed to experience difficulties. And so the difficulties is not God's way of punishing us. The difficulties is not saying that we married the wrong person. The difficulties that God allows to happen is hopefully that we will wake up and see that he has a better plan, he has a way, and if we want to be successful and happy in our marriage, we have no choice but to live it God's way.
And the beautiful thing is, Julia, as you say in the story in my new book, Listening for God, it wasn't all that complicated what Greg did and came to you. And, you know, he had his aha moment reading the teachings of the church and saying, you know, holy cow, where have we been all these years? We could have had a big Catholic V8, basically. And then those words, you know, opened you up, correct?
Amen. I tell you, it was that moment that he became a man of God. Literally, when I walked in the room, he had called me upstairs. And he said, Julie, come here. And I'm like, oh, great. What now? What did I do wrong? He said, no, listen, no wonder we're screwing it up. Look at, we're not even coming close to living it the way God intended or our church teaches. He got on his knees. He asked me to come and kneel down next to him. And he asked God to deliver us from the evil. And he said a prayer asking God to come into our lives. And if he would deliver us from this evil, we will spend the rest of our lives working in some kind of marriage or family ministry. And thousands and thousands of souls have been touched because of our junk and our horrible sins and our tests that God sent us through, that we've been doing this for 21 years only by the grace of God. And we do not charge for what we do, Teresa, because God didn't charge us for what he gave us. Mm. He gave us life, and he gave us a renewed sense of hope. And that is possible for every single marriage that's out there today.
Well, what a thing to think about as we go into Thanksgiving weekend and think about the witness of Nick and Jen Tom, who knew all too well of what you're speaking in terms of the beauty of church teaching and lived it out from the beginning. That's all possible for us if we would only open ourselves up to what the church and what our Lord Jesus has in mind for marriage. Thanks, you guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Julie and Greg Alexander, thealexanderhouse.org. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Agarendi here. Well, because of COVID constrictions, we've been forced to get creative. We are going to tape some episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on EWGN, on November 30th. But they're going to be virtual, which means you can be part of the audience. We're going to have three monitors up in the studio. I'll be in the studio. I can talk to you, and you can talk to me. You can talk to the guests. They can talk to you. This will be great. Now, we're going to do it on November 30th. The times that you have as options are 1:30, 4, and 6:30, November 30th. You go to drray.com/virtual today, because the numbers are going up fast. We'd love to have you. We got a limit of 60. drray.com/virtual to reserve your spot. We'll send you the information. Hope to see you.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, oh, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. He says that often in the Gospels. He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die. To which the Jews say, now we know you have a demon. And they say, Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died? And Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day.
He saw it and was glad. To which the Jews say, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus answers, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Welcome back. 40 minutes past the hour. It is a Wednesday morning edition heading into the Thanksgiving weekend. And don't forget to tune in to a number of our great programs, radio and TV, EWTN.com. We've got Catholic View for Women coming up on Sunday evening. And then in 2 weeks, looking forward to going down and taping. I think this is our 13th or 14th season of the Catholic View for Women. Very excited about that. And so appreciate the support for this program from Doug Keck, Michael Warsaw, and the great team at EWTN. And I also love doing my radio show from there. It's really fun to be in studio with all the wonderful people. And just a reminder, too, that if you like what we're doing here, to make sure that you support not only EWTN, but all of our affiliates. For example, Ave is having a local event next week. We're having a local winter drive. And many of our affiliates around the country do this once, twice, sometimes even more. Sometimes they spread it out over the year, so it's not too much of a burden for listeners. But if you put in context what we are talking about in terms of Al joining us for a special interview on the passing of our beloved Nick Tom, who died at the young age yesterday of 41 after a long battle with a brain tumor, you talk about the witness that he was at work, at home, to his children, to his faith community, the witness their marriage was and is to all of us, and how they gave testimony, very public testimony, for a beautiful, detailed talk 2 years ago at our annual World Marriage Day dinner. These are not the kinds of conversations that you are going to hear out there in the secular world. And so I just want to encourage you, hopefully one of the things that you're thankful for is the opportunity to go online, to download an app, to listen to or watch one of our many programs. So just keep that in mind. And we had a little bit of a problem there, but we do have Joan Lewis with us. And I know, speaking of being grateful, one of the things that we hear a lot about is that folks are so grateful for the conversations that we're able to have with the lovely Joan Lewis from Rome. Well, early happy Thanksgiving. First, I know everyone, they consider you a friend because they say they feel like that they're sitting in our living room or your living room, your beautiful living room in Rome or mine here in southeastern Michigan, having a cup of espresso or cappuccino with us and just kind of being in on the conversation. Inquiring minds want to know how our dear Joan will be spending Thanksgiving. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Well, good morning to you, and happy Thanksgiving Eve, if you will. It's going to be a very, very quiet, totally different than normal Thanksgiving, not just for me, but for most Americans in Italy. Things will be pretty much just in one's home, one's family, but the big celebration, there will be Mass, which for me is the most important thing
right.
of the day.
And
there will be Mass at 10:30 tomorrow morning at St. Patrick's. And Ambassador Gingrich will read the presidential proclamation as she does, as the U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See does every year at this Mass. So that will be lovely. And then normally after Mass, those of us who are invited, it's usually a fairly sizable group, we trek over to the North American College for a second Mass and a very big, wonderful turkey dinner. There's usually several hundred people present, but that's not going to happen this year. It's at NAC. It's going to be a very reduced, a very small group of young people. In fact, I mean, the seminarians and the staff, and I know that's where Cardinal Designate Gregory has been staying there, quarantining in a private house, a private apartment on the campus. And so there, but a lot of the seminarians have ordered already their turkey dinner from home baked, because you have Jesse Smeal, you know, the owner of Home Baked, has every single year they make all the pies. He makes five or six different turkeys, all the dressing and everything else. And so a lot of the seminarians who will not be eating at the college have ordered this from him. And actually, that's where I will be going for a turkey lunch. So because of the difficulty of inviting friends. See, the thing is, restaurants close here at 6, and then there's a curfew for everybody
right.
at 10 at night. So if you're going to have a dinner party, Teresa, you've got to have it at a very unusually early hour for Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd want guests to come at 6:30 or something for the little drink and then the turkey. And but they'd have to be on their way at a certain hour to be home by 10 o'clock. So very understated celebration of Thanksgiving. But I guess we all have to.
Right.
We're all on the same boat.
Exactly.
No matter what. Where we live in the States, or if you're an expat living abroad, it's going to be because COVID touches the whole world. Now,
mm-hmm.
of course, my dream is that next Thanksgiving, you and I are going to be on the phone saying our main word of thanks today goes to the fact that COVID is over.
Amen.
So,
amen. And we are, by the way, planning one heck of an itinerary for our next wine, Women in the New Evangelization, and hopefully you'll be able to join us, God willing, next year. We're already planning it,
and we're
really looking forward to it. I have on the agenda, by the way, I'm coming up with an itinerary, as I did last year. Kelly asked me to put one together, Kelly Walquist, the foundress of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, and she said, T, you know Italy, I'm just going to let you go ahead and do it. So we did. Puglia, you couldn't join us last year. I think you were actually here in the States doing a presentation, but we want to go back up north, and we're going to do Tuscany and Rome, but we're going to start in Umbria, in Orvieto. I want the ladies to experience staying in Orvieto. There is a beautiful winery right outside Orvieto that is owned by two sisters, and Kelly and I had the opportunity to visit with them, a beautiful story of how they took over the winery from their father and how they're running it, one of the few women vineyard owners in Italy. And there's a couple of other things that we have planned that are going to be very, very unique. And we're just going to continue to be positive and to look forward now that we've got great news about this vaccine. And to remind folks, too, not to be fearful, there's a lot of really good news stateside. I saw some stories where people are traveling and people are very conscious of wearing masks and using the sanitation. One gentleman said, I've got my mask. I'm social distancing. I know that we have to be careful. But let me tell you, I have flown during COVID. And I think it's so much better, to be quite honest, Joan, than it was before because of the safety and because of the additional cleanliness that's there. So I want people to be encouraged if they can travel and to feel comfortable. But I think it's important it's good to know that Americans get that there are rules that they have to follow for the safety of themselves and others. But at the same time, they can still travel within limitations.
Well, yeah. You know, just you're mentioning the rules and people recognizing them. What is so unusual is that if you want to pick out a group of human beings on this earth who generally flaunt rules and think that they're made for everyone, you know, but their individual self, it's the Italians. I mean, for decades, you know, look at the history. The government would come up with a certain rule and regulation, and every living, breathing Italian would find some way to get around it. And but when it came to COVID, whether it was last spring or even now, when the government comes out with restrictions and, you know, you have to wear masks when you're outside of your home, people have been very good about obeying that. Not that everybody's happy. There have been protests. There were protests in Naples. Actually, Naples is one of the worst cities affected now, although of all the new cases plus new deaths, 40% or more, probably closer to 45%, are in the north of Italy, in the one region of Lombardia.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Rome has remained in the yellow area, which is the least troublesome of the three colored, you know, regions, the color system that they have for the country. So,
mm-hmm.
We're hoping that remains the same, and I think that's why a lot of us are. You know, would I love to have my traditional Thanksgiving? Of course I would. Who wouldn't? But maybe I'll find a way next week to find some small turkey, make my own stuffing, maybe have one or two friends in for lunch or something like that. But in any event, as my mother always said, of any single negative thing in life, this too will pass.
Will pass. Amen. So, amen. And I wanted to ask you real quick, because we're already almost out of time, Advent quickly approaching. What are the plans at the Vatican? My understanding is they're not going to have any public, anything open to the public, correct?
For the new cardinals, yeah.
Yeah.
There will be 13 new cardinals created Saturday, as we know. Everything's going to be televised and online, et cetera, et cetera. Two of the 13 cannot come, the one from Brunei and also the one from the Philippines.
Philippines, right.
Mainly because of COVID, right. But those who came, who are here, did wherever they're staying, they did do quarantine, and everything will be on a reduced scale with the Holy Father in St. Peter's Basilica, and again, once again, at the altar of the chair, not the papal altar. And then the new cardinals, that's going to be 4 o'clock Rome time Saturday. And then on Sunday, they will have Mass at the same altar in St. Peter's Square with the Pope. So the difficult thing, I think, even for the new prelates, they come all this way from wherever they're coming, is that normally for 2 hours after the consistory ceremony itself, the brand new eminences receive family and friends in
right.
what are known as courtesy visits. And those take place for over a period of 2 hours in rooms of the Apostolic Palace and in the Paul VI Hall. Well, that's not going to take place very, very obviously this year. So that part of it's sad. I mean, for them, sure, I'd love to go and greet, you know, the cardinal-elect, cardinal-designate Gregory and some of the others, for heaven's sakes. But that'll have to wait. We will have to meet them at another time. I'm hoping that while he is in Rome, because I've known Cardinal Gregory since I think he was just a Monsignor. And those are some of the sad moments. I mean, I think of church events. I think of weddings, even of funerals where there's ever restrictions, big events in a family life, an anniversary celebration or something where things just have to be on hold, you know. You've been married for 50 years. You want to have the big celebration, and that's out of the question because of a little thing called COVID that the human eye can't even see. So it's very
right. But as you said, as your mother said, this too shall pass. I think in addition, I know my own people, the Italian people, can be very frustrating with the rules. They have no idea what it means to stand in a line and wait because they'll consistently cut in front of you. And I always tell the ladies that you know,
they
to be in line.
Bunches, yeah.
Right. And I kind of get in the middle being that even though I can only speak a little bit of the language, at least because I look so Italian, I look my heritage, I'm able to communicate with the people, try to cut off our group. And I help them stand their ground. But, you know, we've got situations here, which I'm sure you heard in the U.S., where the Americans are doing a good job of the citizens are doing their best. But we've got some leaders who are flaunting these laws in our faces and saying, you know, the rules are for thee, but not for me. And I'm glad to see people respectfully pushing back against that, because if there really is such a danger, then they need to be following the rules. Why are they allowed to make their own decisions and then, basically lord over us when they turn around and do whatever they want to do, whether it's with their family or at restaurants? So I think we all have to be conscious to hopefully get through this very soon.
No,
Joan,
surely that is a difficult thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's insulting. It's very insulting to people who are trying to be conscious and trying to be law-abiding citizens and are concerned about the virus spreading. And then you turn around and you say, well, wait a minute. How can so-and-so go to a restaurant with 12 people without masks, without social distancing, hop on a plane and travel, or another go into a salon, or another say he's going to be with his family on Thanksgiving while yelling at his residents in his state that they can't do practically anything? And so I think people respectfully pushing back. Go ahead.
What kind of a nation have we become when I believe it's a governor?
In Oregon,
Governor or mayor. Who has asked, that people report their neighbors. I would want to report the governor for even saying that. That's not America.
No.
That's not American. That's not where we're from. So.
No.
Gosh, Teresa, I think we've just added people to our prayer list.
Amen. Listen, have a great Thanksgiving, a beautiful Mass, praying for you. We miss you so much, and good Lord willing, this too shall pass, and we're praying we can get together soon in Italia or here in the States or both. We'll be right back on a Thursday to let you know what's coming up next week on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wishing you and yours a very blessed Thanksgiving. Be safe, be careful, but make sure that you pray for everyone, including our family here at Ave Maria Radio, as we struggle with the loss of our dear Nick Tom. And again, we have a special edition tomorrow of Catholic Connection, re-airing Father Mitch Pacwa and much more. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's A-V-E MariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.